Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 609, MLG is back, recorded live on December 19th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
We are moving into the holiday season, which means we're getting ever so close to our Xbox One X giveaway. But we have some other giveaways tonight and some Halo news. So we'll have a little bit of a quality show tonight, which will be a good way to kind of end out the year. Hopefully we'll see some more stuff next week. Probably not, though. Hopefully we'll get a book podcast, because I know some people have been looking for that for a while now, so hope we'll get there. We've got some MLG announcements, Halo Championship Series announcements. So much for the surprise on that one, MLG. But we'll get to that in a little bit. A few other things from the update from last week, and a couple other smaller things for us. We'll see how long this goes tonight, but let's go ahead and do a quick review of this past weekend with GT and the game night. How'd it go?
Went really well. Had a lot of fun.
A lot of Castle Wars.
Lots of Castle Wars. And we had a special guest, Dust.
Yes, I showed up for the first time in, I think, 3 months.
Something like that.
Yeah. Buying a house and planning for a wedding is a real time killer.
Excuses.
It was a lot of fun, though. Castle Wars was... I'm surprised to see how many different maps there are for Castle Wars now. I didn't know there were that many.
Yeah, I didn't either. So many different ways to play the same game.
But the nice thing about the different maps is each one had their own different outlines or layouts and abilities, power-ups, weapons, that kind of stuff. There were some with overshields, there were some with invis, there were some with... There was one with a hammer, there was one with a... whatever the talon sword is. Some with... most with vehicles, some without vehicles. And it at least helped keep things fresh and fun throughout the whole night. I don't think we played the map probably more than 3 times during that night.
It was definitely interesting.
It certainly was. And I still have that one crazy stick that happened to get on stream.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy stick.
My sticks in Halo 5 aren't that great unless I'm right in front of a person, but for those that weren't watching, I threw a grenade in front of somebody and it bounced up and then it stuck to their foot as they were walking over it. So I got a stick out of that. It was pretty funny.
At least I thought it was freaking hilarious, actually.
But yeah, game night was a lot of fun. It got preluded by the stream that 343 did, wrapping up the year. They had kind of a top three list that they went through for a bunch of different people working at the studio. And they also had some announcements at the end of, for the end of the year. Some more of the BR tweaks, some of the merchandise that's available for ordering for the holiday season, and a few other little tidbits. Most of the stuff that was covered in the community update for the past week was stuff that they talked about on the live stream.
I didn't get to watch a lot of the live stream.
I caught all of it somehow, because they announced it. I think they only announced it like the day or two before, but I managed to get in there, and then I tried to join up on with them, but I ended up playing with Dr. Leo and Green Skull for 2 or 3 games. That was still fun. There was a clip that Dr. Leo got of him waiting for me and Green Skull, who were, we were on the same team, and we had a good run for their flag on the traditional Castle Wars map. And he was up in one of the towers, and he was waiting for us to come up. Green Skull got in the mongoose, and I grabbed the flag, and he ground pounded us and completely destroyed our plans to get the flag. So if you're listening, Leo, good one. That's one thing about those maps, is there are a lot of places for you to camp your own flag and put a quick stop to a run. If you just leave one person behind. Other than that, though, the maps are a lot of fun. We are not going to be doing a game night next week.
No, we're not. You know, family.
I'll be with family as well. I'll be in Houston with mine. I will be taking my Xbox, so maybe you'll see me online a little bit with my family members at some point. Not sure if it'll be Halo or if it'll be something else. I'm at least going to bring it in case we decide to end up play something together. So maybe you'll see me. We'll see.
Possibly.
There will not be a live stream, though, because I will not have a computer there to live stream with.
Like live stream through the Xbox.
Well, my parents don't have that great a bandwidth either to stream with. I think they maybe have 2 megs, 3 megs.
Wow. Down.
Oh, yeah. It's AT&T U-verse. It's absolute crap.
Oh, I had U-verse. I had 24 megs.
Maybe. I don't remember. Anyways, they don't have great internet from when I remember. We're going to be taking the week off to stream, basically. Except we'll be back for the podcast, not Tuesday next week, but Wednesday, which is when we'll be giving away the Xbox One X. A little bit more info about the code word for tonight's recording in a little bit. We have some news to go through, though. We have the latest community update, which, again, was covered in the live stream that the studio did last week. There's a couple things we're going to go over, though, with that. And then there was a big announcement for MLG and Halo World Championship that's happening next year. So we'll dig into that a little bit after the update. First things up, the 4th issue of Halo Rise of Atriox is out and available for digital reading and in physical copy, wherever your brick and mortar comic book store is. I think that was, they have planned, 6 for Rise of Atriox? So at least 2 more.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I don't think there's a Dark Horse. No, sorry, not Dark Horse. Yeah, Dark Horse sale, or the sale that was going on, if it's still going on, did not include Rise of Atriox because it's a newer comic series. But you can either get it now for $3.99 or probably wait at some point. It'll go on sale. They regularly, throughout the year, have like half off sales or 99 cent comic sales or bundle sales. The last one that they, when they had everything for 99 cents, I think I got everything digital that was The Fall of Reach, Escalation, Initiation, and I think there was another one in there. They'll go on sale at some point if you don't have the urgent need to read them.
Yeah, I should have taken advantage of that sale, but I was broke at the time.
Well, good thing is it'll come around again.
Eventually, yes.
Next up is the patch that got released on the 13th. A few things related to what looks like game freezes or game UI sticks. Apparently there were some issues where the game would get stuck after completing a match, and if you were hitting the back for the scoreboard and pause menu, it would also introduce some weird quirks into the game. So they fixed some of that. Fixed the frame rate on Forge maps, fixed some 4K assets, fixed some graphic corruption at the bottom of the screen, some maps. And then there's a whole list of BR changes because everyone's still griping about the BR changes.
Yeah, well, like I said, when you introduce randomness into the shots, it just makes your life suck.
Yes. One of the things that they were trying to do with the randomness, and they explained this in the update, so if you go read it, there's a little more detail there. But they're trying to make sure that the BR is fulfilling that role of a mid-range weapon, isolating it from shorter range, like the pistol or SMG type of range, to the DMR, which is supposed to be more of a mid-long range weapon.
Well, you know, they can do that just by adjusting the damage per round and having damage fall off.
Here's one of the weird things for me, though. In Halo 2 and Halo 3, you had BR spread. You had randomness in there. And now that the BR had a more close to the center spread at the start, and now that they tried to kind of widen it a little bit, everyone is not liking the unpredictability of that spread, which, if you think about it, is a little more realistic, even though we're not in a quote-unquote realistic game anyways.
Well, the problem is that the Halo 2 BR was more accurate than the Halo 5 BR.
In Halo 5, or you mean like in original Halo 2?
In original Halo 2.
Right, because you didn't have a longer range weapon.
There was spread, but it wasn't a, you know, it was a predictable spread. You knew that the bullets were going to travel in a certain direction, so you could compensate for it. Where in Halo 5, it was just all over the place.
I think part of that, though, is in Halo 2, you didn't have another tier weapon like a DMR, so you needed some kind of weapon that fulfilled that range. So I can see where the Halo 2 BR has a range that's maybe more similar to the DMR, but if they're trying to distinguish those roles in Halo 5, then...
Like I said, they could do the same thing by introducing damage falloff. You know, the further away you are from a bullet, the less damage it does.
Does, and again, realistic physics here, does that realistically add up, though?
Well, I mean, in real life, the further you are away from the target, the less velocity a bullet has. Where the DMR would have, you know, seeing you're firing a single round, more mass, which means more powder to drive it, which gives you a longer range. It's neither here nor there. I mean, they could give the DMR bullet spread as long as it was in a predictable pattern. And that's the problem with what they did with the battle rifle, is they had an unpredictable spread. You know, there was no pattern to it, where in previous games there was a pattern to it. Well, the Halo, was it Halo 3 BR, what they did in it is they just made it where it more accurately fired. You know, they just gave the bullets travel time before they did damage. And that's what made it so hard to shoot with the Halo 5 battle rifle, or Halo 3 battle rifle, is that travel time, because you had to adjust for it.
Yeah, that BR was a nightmare to use.
Yeah, it was, and that's one of the reasons I don't like multiplayer in Halo 3, is just because the way they have bullet travel with, you know, everything.
So some of the things that they fixed with the BR, or the things that they're continuing to tweak, is they removed the bullet spread completely from the BR, but they increased the amount of recoil that you get vertically, which they already increased it from the previous update, so I guess they added a little bit more. They did say you can account for it, and it's a predictable amount of recoil. So pros will be able to work around that system.
Which is the way it should be. I mean, you should have a weapon that you can adjust for, at least in my opinion.
I still think, though, having a little bit of spread over no spread at all seems like a better fit for the BR compared to the DMR. Maybe not necessarily like for the first bullet, but for like the second bullet and the third bullet, having that spread in there. But that's just my personal opinion. I know a lot of the people that play more competitively probably do not want that at all. Ultimately, it's 343's game. They should be the ones making the decisions. If this is the direction that the majority of the community is going in, then I guess that's what we're going to get. They also increased the zoom and target acquisition speed. They moved the weapon model closer to the player, so it's a little more clear, I guess, on the weapon, what you have. And the rate of fire and damage were both slightly increased. I think a lot of people just did not like the changes that 343 did to the BR, and they want everything reverted back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'll agree that there were some changes that needed to happen to the BR. It was probably too much the go-to weapon.
And I think that's something to say about it, though, is if there's one weapon that is a little more preferred over other weapons, and you want all the weapons in the sandbox to have a purpose and to be utilized, then it does make sense to nerf the weapon a little bit.
Well, the problem is they didn't nerf the weapon a little bit. They nerfed the weapon a lot.
That's true. You make a good point.
It was to the point that the pistol was a better precision weapon than the DMR. It had more range than the DMR, or more effective range, let's put it that way. You know, which, don't get me wrong, is that's not inherently bad, but you know, when the pistol becomes the go-to weapon over the BR, then you've probably screwed up the tuning a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't know it had gotten that serious for some people, using the pistol over the BR.
Somebody was did a
side-by-side comparison?
Yeah, they did a side-by-side comparison between the damage of the BR and the pistol, and the pistol was beating the...
Time to kill for the BR?
Yeah.
That's a problem. The BR should be outdoing the pistol any day of the week.
Well, the BR should have better range than... It should have better range than the pistol.
Totally. Are you testing it in the game right now?
No. I'm killing stuff with snowballs.
Oh. Okay. I think if there's some fixes that need to happen to the BR, I would be hesitant to maybe increase the power of the BR much more. Whenever I've been playing with the BR recently, I did get the sense of it is a little bit more mid-tier, but I didn't feel completely at a disadvantage using it. I still felt very comfortable with it. The time difference between the bullets and the burst, though, was pretty significant, and that got hard to get used to. But everything else, it didn't really... And granted, I'm not a pro player. I don't play on that level. But it didn't really seem to affect my playstyle too negatively, except for the spread in between the bullets and the burst for doing swipes on SWAT or something. Other than that, the update to the BR didn't personally affect my gameplay, or it didn't feel like it did.
Well, it definitely affected mine more to my SWAT game than anything. It really screwed with my SWAT game.
Oh yeah, mine too. And everything else, it didn't seem to make that much of a difference, but yeah, it was something in SWAT that I definitely noticed. He's just saying it's because I'm awful at the game, which...
Oh, well, that holds true, too. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm definitely not great at the game, but I wouldn't say I'm awful. It's all right. I'll just hop in yours or Bobby's or Confell's backpack. Although, I've had a few games where I've been the backpack for some of you suckers.
I've had games like that occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Hey, you gotta take your wins and count them whenever you can. I'm just happy when I get kills against pros. Even one kill when I'm playing them like a FFA or something. Maybe 2015 keys, but I was the weight for 2016. I held everyone back for the 2016 Halo Bowl. That was not fun. Hey, T-Lock, thanks for coming on over and joining our fire team. Join the following squad on our Mixer channel. We're up to 55 followers.
Woohoo! Yeah, I checked mine tonight. I'm up to 14.
Nice. I have no idea what my personal one is at. I haven't streamed on that one in a long time because I've been doing all my Halo streaming on Podtacular, which I did finally finish every single campaign mission on Halo Wars 2.
About time.
Thanks to Bobby, Laird, and Pins, I got the last mission of Operation Spearbreaker completed on Sunday. And I will be using them plus others to help backpack me through Legendary and getting all the other bonus objectives. And then matchmaking and multiplayer.
Yeah, I haven't done multiplayer yet.
I haven't either. I've only done multiplayer at conferences or press events. I haven't played multiplayer after release on the actual game.
Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah. It's not the way it should be. I will be getting into multiplayer and the Legendary stuff next year, though. I gotta go back and do Halo Wars 1 as well. And I've gotten plenty of people to offer to help for that. And in return, I will help anyone with MCC or Halo 2 PC achievements as well.
Yeah, I need to work on those.
The Lazo achievements on MCC are going to be painful. For me, the Halo Wars Legendary campaign stuff and some of the multiplayer stuff, personally, I think it's going to be worse than doing Lazo on MCC, just because I am a horrible RTS player. Yes, Blue, we need to play all the wars.
More wars! Oh.
War. Huh. What is it good for? Absolutely
nothing.
Everything achievement-wise. Back to the update. We have a few community highlights, spotlights, as far as tweets, artwork, screenshots, videos, and all that fun stuff. We did cover the Griffball 10-year anniversary last week. They covered it in the update this past week, but we already covered that. Again, Griffball Hub turned 10 years a couple weeks ago, so congrats to them. They have a big plan for RTX 2018. So if you have a chance to get there and you're in the Texas area, might be worth getting some tickets to that. For one of the screenshots, they had, or someone recreated the Pelican scene from Halo 1's Silent Cartographer. They had a few people dressed up as ODSTs, and it looks like they had some other Forge characters in there, and then a Spartan dressed up as the Mark V Master Chief. And it looks pretty good. All the stuff that they've added to Forge really makes these kinds of screenshots really pop and stick out.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's really cool. Actually, I'm sorry. This is a render. It's not Forge, but even still, having the models available to them and having this kind of stuff is really cool. So that's at the top of the spotlight. And then Robert Letts, who's part of the 405th, I've actually been able to meet him in person. He had a picture of him in his armor ready to start a snowball fight. Speaking snowball of fight. Snowballs, which you're apparently throwing around in some video game right now. We also have some really cool pieces of artwork. I'm thinking at some point I might have a screen on XSplit to actually just have a browser window so I can scroll through some of these so people can actually see what we're looking at the same time.
Well, that'd be silly.
Come next year. The first piece of artwork, though, is a sketch of Master Chief, which I really like. It's done by a guy called Rythaze, and it's one of just a few different sketches that he's done that he shared on Reddit. The first one looks really cool. He did one of Master Chief, an Elite, and then two different ODSTs. Next thing that we have that I really like is a shot-for-shot comparison of the armor for the different Spartan generations. So you have the Spartan ones. Someone put to an EVA helmet. Spartan 2's was the Mark V. Spartan 3's, they did air assault, and then Spartan 4's, I'm not sure what armor that one is, but it was just kind of different generations of Spartans and matching up armors to each one of those.
That's cool.
Twitter user is TheSkits94, and it's a really cool just side-by-side image comparison of going through the different armors that came out for each different generation of Spartans. So that was really cool. Next thing that we have is a couple of videos. The first one is a video by The Notable. He's kind of an upcoming YouTuber. I haven't watched too many of his things, but I've watched a few different videos. And then there's a Dualtage for kind of Halo Christmas themed. That's also up there. And then something that is unfortunately going to be over by the time this podcast gets released, but for the folks that are in here, the Sins of the Prophets folks have made the top 100 mods for this year's ModDB Mod of the Year contest. They are one of three different mods for the Sins of the Solar Empire game for their mod, and they're the only Halo mod that is in this contest right now. Voting is going to be over on the 20th, which is tomorrow as of our recording, at around 6 p.m. Eastern time. So for those that are at least in the chat, you can head on over to the link that is in the community update, or I'll go ahead and post it in the Mixer chat as well to go vote. But you can go and vote now for the mod, and then there's the drawings tomorrow. So go check them out. We had them on the show several podcasts ago, and they told us kind of what their plan is for the mod and what they do. They've been adding a lot of new ships because of the release of Halo Warfleet, and they included a UNSC Gladius class heavy corvette in the update, which was modeled by the Sins of the Prophets team.
Even better.
And to wrap up the update, of course, there are the community screenshots. They range from Christmas theme to special effects theme to different color themes. The bottom one is a ghillie suit Spartan kind of thing. There's a couple of Christmas ones in here. There's one with sparks and shimmer effects and all that kind of stuff. So, again, screenshots on the bottom. Go check them out.
Sparks!
They're so pretty.
Pretty sparks.
At this point, we'll go ahead and reveal our secret code of the podcast. Again, for those listening, we are doing an Xbox One X giveaway. Part of our Xmas X giveaway that we're doing, wrapping up the end of the year. Since episode 600, we've been doing a giveaway every podcast. And at the end of the year, for our very last podcast, which will be done on the 27th, we're going to be giving away an Xbox One X. There are several ways to enter, but the main way to enter is attending one of our live streams, our live recordings of the episode, and then we'll post a secret code which you can use to go enter at our giveaway at podtaggler.com/xmasxgiveaway, all one word, no dashes or anything. The code gets you 10 entries, and then if you're a Twitch subscriber, you also get 10 entries. There's a few other smaller things that'll get you one or two entries into the giveaway, but we'll be making that drawing live on the show on the 27th. And giving away an Xbox One X. As for tonight, we are going to be giving away to the winner's choice. So I pulled out almost all of my stock of Halo goodies that I have, all my Halo gear, to give away.
Which is a lot.
There is quite a bit. I may move the webcam to show what's back here, but if not, I'll at least bring it up to the screen. There's different categories, which might make it a little bit easier for someone to pick what they want. But first things first is we have to pick someone to actually give something away to. So I'm going to be using random.org again, because I still haven't decided to get a bot yet for our chat. One of these days. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people in the chat right now. So the first one to hit twice will be able to select what they want. And the winner is Bobby. So he wore the pins mask tonight.
Bobby!
Okay, so here are the categories to pick from, Bobby. There is Podtacular merch, which includes a Podtacular t-shirt, wristbands, stickers, lanyards, buttons, all of those in one package. There are Mega Blocks. I have big sets. I have small sets. I have the Dark Horse replicas, the silver and regular Banshee, the UNSC Vulture. I have some Mega Blocks blind packs. I have Halo 5 soundtrack, Nightfall. I have Griffball Edition covers for Halo 5 and MCC. Some of the Mattel figures. I think I have all of, well, not all. I have most of Series 1. So, yeah, pick a category and we'll go from there of things that you want. So, again, what we're doing is you can pick whatever you want to win. Take some time to think about that. Oh, he says he's thinking about Podtacular merch. All right. You have a definitive answer, let me know. We can go through stuff, or we can set you up with some of that Podtacular merch. While you decide that, we're going to review some of the announcements for the Halo Championship Series that happened over the past week. One of the big things that has been requested by the competitive community has been the return of MLG to be managing the Pro Series, or the Pro League, for Halo. And people got what they wished for, because for the 2018 Halo World Championship, 343 is partnering with MLG for the United States as the Pro League for the U.S. or for North America. There are the other, not companies, organizations that are still part of the Halo Championship Series in the other regions. So ESL still has Australia and New Zealand. Gfinity is still the UK and EU. And then Gamelta, I think is how you say it, is still for Mexico and South America. So ESL isn't completely out of the picture, but MLG has taken over for North America regions.
Well, I hope everybody gets what they want.
Yeah. And MLG is primarily North America only, so it makes sense that the other organizations are picking up for the other regions.
Mm-hmm.
As far as some of the details, we are starting on January 13th with the online play for the Halo World Championship. That goes until the weekend of April 13th through the 15th, which will be the grand finals that will be in Seattle. So since it's not being managed by ESL for the Americas, they're not obligated to be in Burbank. So having it in Halo's backyard is going to be pretty cool. I'm wondering if they're going to have it at a Microsoft store or venue or office or something like that, or if they're going to have that 343 Studios, or if they're going to have something like Benner Royal Hall or something downtown again. I don't know, but April 13th through the 15th is the finals with a $1 million prize pool. Leading up to that is online play through gamebattles.com. There are five different LAN events. There is an open LAN February 16th through the 18th. That is open to all regions. So people from Latin America, Mexico, Europe, UK, Australia, wherever, they can come in and participate in the open LAN. It does help with placement, but it's not required to actually make it to the finals. The open LAN has a $50,000 prize pool, and it will have 8 U.S. teams, 2 EU teams, 1 Mexican team, and 1 Australian team. They're 2 play guaranteed based off of current standings, and then there's going to be 4 teams chosen to go into the final 16 of the tournament that will be pulled from a 96 team open bracket. And that is all February 16th through the 18th. If it's following MLG style, all of the open bracket stuff happens on Friday into Saturday morning, and then the top 16 team play happens Saturday, starting Saturday morning and then going through Sunday to the final bracket.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere for MLG, I will say, is unlike what we've seen ESL-wise for Halo. At least for the times that I've been there. Now, I haven't been to an MLG event in a long time, so I don't know what they've changed as far as format, seating arrangements, all that kind of stuff. It will be interesting to see what has changed over the years, because the last time we saw Halo at an MLG event was 2012, right before the launch of Halo 4. So if anyone has any MLG attendee experience since 2012, preferably more recent, then let us know what it's like. Because it's been a long time since I've been to an MLG event. That's
definitely not me, so.
I went to every MLG event in Dallas from 2008 to 2012. So I went to 5 MLG events, and they were all at Dallas. Because at the time, I was in college in Oklahoma, and the closest event that MLG had for Halo was in Dallas. So that I would always go to Dallas. It was a 4-hour drive. So really not that bad.
That's dedication.
You bet. I would try to get off for Friday with my professors. If I couldn't, I would just drive there whenever I could get off.
Yeah, I've never been in that far into competition.
I just watch and cover because I'm not that good. I can understand the gameplay, but I just can't execute it.
Oh yeah, I definitely can't execute it.
Next thing is the 4 different regional finals. For the North American finals, is going to be in Columbus, Ohio, March 23rd through 25th, which is my wedding weekend, for those that are interested in knowing. There is the Australian and New Zealand finals in Sydney. That is March 9th through the 11th. There is the Latin American finals, which is March 17th through the 18th. And then there is the EU and Middle East finals in London. That is February 23rd through the 25th. So the EU finals are going to be first, followed by the Australian and New Zealand finals, followed by Latin America, followed by the North American finals. For the EU, Australia, New Zealand, and Latin American, all those are $25,000 prize pools, also hosting a $5,000 FFA. For the North American, that is a $50,000 prize pool, also hosting a $5,000 FFA. For the North American, 9 teams are going to advance into the World Finals. For EU, 4 teams, Australia, 2 teams, and Latin America, 1 team. Then the Halo World Championship Finals are on April 13th through the 15th with the $1 million prize pool. If I remember right, first place is $500,000. Followed by 100,000. I'm just kind of basing off this last year. 300,000, I think, maybe. I don't remember the breakdown exactly. But traditionally, I think the first place has been $500,000.
Not bad for a day.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Video games?
For a weekend playing video games.
Or a weekend playing video games.
That's all the different changes to the Halo Championship Series that is taking place for 2018. We'll see a lot of these organizations probably throughout the remainder of 2018 through the summer and the fall seasons. It's going to be interesting having MLG back into the fold of competitive Halo. I don't mean to make this sound bad. Attendance is probably going to be a lot greater for MLG events because the competitive scene for Halo has a history with MLG. A lot of the longtime competitive players of Halo and people that have followed Halo like the MLG format over what ESL has done. Now, granted, ESL has some great productions. You look at the CSGO tournament that they've held over in Europe, and it sells out stadiums. So ESL can put on a show. I think a lot of the Halo fan base is just, not to say narrow-minded, but...
narrow-minded.
Doesn't like change.
You know, don't get me wrong. MLG did a really good job with Halo in competitive. And Bungie and 343 did not do things to nurture that. Regardless, MLG left Halo.
They did.
And I get it. Halo 4 was not a competitive... the multiplayer wasn't designed for competitive play. It was designed for casual play. And I don't know. It's just... I'm glad they're back, because there's a lot of fans that really want MLG back. But to me, ESL was doing a good job. The low turnouts for the events are more due to the population of the video game than the production. Don't get me wrong, they had some rough productions with Halo, but you know, it's a learning curve. I don't know. We'll pray for the best.
There's going to be a lot of nostalgia. I would say be very careful about it, because I'm have a feeling, and again, this is just me. I don't have any insider knowledge on this, and it is something I'm not well kept up with. MLG left Halo because when 343 took over Halo Reach, they made changes, and Halo Reach did not keep well with the competitive scene. And then after 343 made changes to Reach, some of them were good and some of them helped, but the player base for the competitive side of things just wasn't there. They weren't getting large crowds. For the Halo 4 event, we were stuck in the back corner of a convention center, and it was basically just floor seating only. So there wasn't an interest for Halo. So the population just wasn't there. So MLG was just like, no, it's not worth our time. I think because so many people have been vocal about wanting MLG back, there were probably some concessions made and probably some contractual stuff that had to be broken with ESL, or some negotiation that had to happen to get MLG to take Halo back. I have a feeling it was 343 kind of going to MLG and being like, the community wants you, we want you, please do this for us. And let's see how the community responds and if we get the numbers there and get the viewership. MLG traditionally for Halo, and someone mentioned it before, I think it was Bobby, the nostalgia of what MLG has been for Halo in the past probably is a little misplaced, because it's not going to be the same environment that it was back in the days when MLG was really fostering that competitive community in Halo 2 and Halo 3. You don't have the bleachers anymore. You don't have that intimate atmosphere where you have both teams sitting within 10 feet of each other, being able to yell across when someone gets an ugly snipe, and being able to just verbally intimidate somebody. You don't get that with the ESL stuff, and there's a little bit of professionalism that ESL tries to bring that MLG, or at least I don't get the feeling that MLG enforces the same way. And I think that is kind of to the benefit of 343 because of Halo 5 being rated teen, and if they want more people to be watching the stream, you don't want parents to see their kids watching people that they look up to swearing and cussing and verbally assaulting the other team. Maybe MLG has gotten better about that. I just don't know.
If anybody's ever stopped by my own channel, they know that I do have the teen warning posted on my own channel, because I get really into it
yeah
sometimes, and you know, I try, you know, when I'm streaming on Podtacular, I try to behave myself, but it doesn't always work.
You're in the heat of the moment. It happens. It certainly happens. It is an interesting opportunity to, I guess, encourage and reassure fans of the competitive scene that 343 does care. I'm a little tentative to see what the success of changing from ESL to MLG is going to be as far as viewership, attendance, and format. Because a lot of the things that are controlled from a streaming setup and production setup is pretty different. So that'll be probably one of the first things that's noticed right away. You didn't really have that 15 to 20 minute lag time that ESL has between matches, like, and MLG doesn't traditionally have that. So that's one change. But the other thing is having the casters are all going to probably be the same. This is going to be Golden Boy. It's going to be Walshy. It's going to be, well, I hope Ghost the Army is still around and Strong Side and all those other normal casters that we get. But everything else is going to be the same for the most part. We'll just have to wait and see.
I think MLG is probably, yeah, like you said, just a more practice production when it comes to this type of content. Don't get me wrong. You know, ESL does, you know, from what I understand, does a really good job with CSGO and, you know, a lot of the established shooter, you know, PC shooters. I don't know. The console world just always seems to be a little different.
Compared to PC?
Compared to, yeah, you know, things done for PC.
Well, part of that, I believe, is also genre, because first-person shooter is Western culture. Strategy is more Eastern culture, and that Eastern culture has a lot bigger following than the Western culture for strategy. Now, there's still quite a bit of that following in the Western side as well, with games like League, but that first-person shooter aspect just hasn't caught hold too much as much as some of those other games that are highlighted and covered and have that kind of sponsorship. CSGO is probably the premier first-person shooter competitive game in the world. Overwatch will probably take it over pretty soon. If it hasn't already, actually. And I think it was at the Game Awards. It was either at the Game Awards or maybe shortly before that they announced their competitive series. We'll see. I don't know what MLG is going to bring to change up the dynamic. Bobby mentioned this in the chat. It's probably going to be a nostalgia surge for the first few events, and maybe it'll ride out through World Champions. But for the summer and fall seasons, we may see a drop off. It may be a quick nostalgia burst, and then it might drop back down to where ESL was. A lot of it's going to be, I think, in the production of it, the lag time between games, and unfortunately, a heavy part of this still falls on the game, on what 343 is doing to change the game mechanics and the maps. And I don't know if I saw this on Reddit or a tweet or somewhere else. Yeah, Twitter. But Halo 3 had several maps that were community made, or at least started in Forge and then cleaned up by MLG's map team. Onslaught's probably one of the more famous maps played for Halo 3 during the time that it was in MLG. And we don't see Forge maps utilized in competitive. And I've seen quite a few people say, let the community try to make some of those maps and get them involved with the competitive side. If you're not going to make the community available to have input into that system, especially when there are a lot of people out there that make those good maps, and there's been plenty of vocal feedback that the maps in Halo 5, while some of them are good, overall aren't great.
Yeah, I was watching a video where they were talking to pros, and one consistent theme throughout the video was map design. I'm not a pro. Most of the maps I enjoy. They seem to be pretty fairly balanced. I mean, you know, some have more advantages than others. Truth. but, you know, if, you know, honestly, and this is the God honest truth, this is the way I feel. MLG should have their own playlist, or Pro League play should have their own playlist.
That's something that I know I've mentioned before that we want to bring up on the show at some point.
And the reason, in just a short description there, is so you have a place to test maps, and you have a place to test weapon modifications, where the, you know, the pros, the upper level of competitive players are going to go into that playlist, you know, because you or me, there's no way we're going to jump into a pro playlist, because we're just going to absolutely get stomped. You know, that upper tier competitive play needs a place to go to test this stuff and not just get it thrown at them at, you know, at a competition or community feedback. No, it's the pro playing. They need the pros feedback, not the community's feedback. You know, you need to talk to the people that are going to be competing on these maps and with these weapon sets.
I believe back in the day, for Halo 3 especially, MLG would give out versions of Forge maps to the competitive teams to play with one another and to provide feedback on. It wasn't in a matchmaking playlist. It was something that they gave to the teams ahead of time. It's like, try this. Tell us what works. Tell us what doesn't work. And then after they get that feedback from the pros, then they put it into the matchmaking playlist. Where 343 is doing it completely backwards. They're making changes like, okay, here's the playlist halfway through the season that we're making changes to. And I think that's one of the reasons why Green Skull made the video with the pros, is because you have a process that isn't garnering community feedback, especially for the pros, to have input into the game that they're playing competitively, that they have a financial stake in.
Well, part of the point I'm trying to make is the pros should not dictate what happens for the rest of the community.
There's that too, and that's another
because we're
thing that needs to be discussed.
Pro players. So I think if, you know, because Halo 3 had an MLG playlist and it was managed by MLG, what they played in tournament is what showed up in the MLG playlist. So if there's any, you know, top level players out there, you know, people that, you know, actually compete or attempt to compete, they have a place to go where they can hone their skills with players that are somewhat equal to their own skill.
Yeah.
And in that same, yeah, you know, it's just 343, bless their hearts, they're trying. But they're trying to satisfy all communities with the same set of rules, and it's not going to work. No matter what you do, you're going to piss somebody off, whether it be the casual player or the pro player or the semi-pro player. When it comes to matchmaking, you know, people have said, well, if we have a divided playlist, then that cuts population. Yeah, that cuts the population down to the people that actually want to play that playlist.
Right. An issue that I see is 343 trying to cater to the competitive side without having their own firm vision of where they want to go. If I remember right, Bungie didn't make their games with the idea that MLG was going to pick up their games. Now, they had a track record for it, for MLG doing Halo 1 and then Halo 2 and Halo 3. But if you check their Vidox, they made the game that they had fun playing, whereas 343 is making the game that they want to make sure keeps on getting played, and that will get them money and get them the quotas or the viewers that they're going to be required to get for the competitive series, so that they can keep on doing that.
Like I said, they're trying to satisfy too many people. What they need to focus on, and don't get me wrong, focusing on competitives is fine,
but not at the sacrifice of everyone else.
Exactly. Make the game fun to play. And the game is fun to play. In that same video, I was surprised to hear how many of the pros are not just totally against all the Spartan abilities. Most of them weren't even against Sprint.
If you take a general consensus of things, and if it sounds like you're going in the right direction, then it's probably a good thing. If there's a major consensus of not doing something, then okay, that makes sense. But if you have a community that's split on certain things pretty evenly, and I know it's hard to sometimes filter out the silent majority versus the vocal minority, but there should be facets of the game that are there because that's the game that the studio wants to make. That's because it's a certain corner of the community wants it this way. It's taking that into consideration when making their game. Ultimately, it's not the community's game. It's 343's game.
Right.
343 should have the confidence in making what they want to make and standing by it without having to please anybody.
You know, most of the complaints that I've had with Halo 5 is just the sheer lack of content at launch.
That's something that they really need to get Halo 6 on the head for.
They need to get that right. Those are my biggest complaints with Halo 5. You know, I never really felt any of the weapons were obtrusively overpowered compared to other ones. But, you know, that's from a casual player. You know, I'm not the guy that counts the milliseconds between the time I pull the trigger and the time the guy dies.
Right.
You know, I pick up a weapon, I get kills with it. That's all that I care about. As far as the gameplay, the only thing that I really don't like is the decreased radar range, especially with the movement mechanics that are in Halo 5. Instead of shrinking it, I think they should have expanded it, because you can close that distance so much faster now. It's to the point I don't even bother with the radar anymore, because it's totally useless to me. Because by the time I see the dot on the radar, it's too late.
Yeah, with the Sprint.
Yeah, by the time I see the dot on the radar, they're already in melee range. But you know, that's the only real complaint I have about, you know, multiplayer gameplay. You know, all the rest of it, yeah, they're more just personal beefs than actual, you know, real problems with the game. And people would probably look at me and call me a fanboy for saying that. Okay, whatever. To me, it's a fun game.
I personally think Halo 5 is the best Halo since Halo 2.
You know, I just wish, the one thing I would like to say to 343 is focus on what you want the game to be. And I'm not saying don't make changes for competitive, but they need to be separate from the rest of the game.
Sure.
If you see a weapon that is consistently coming to the top of the kill list, maybe you might want to look at tuning it, but you also need to weigh that against it's just people's favorite weapon.
I think it's also something to not take that difference of communities to segmenting out the game. All the mechanics need to be there the same for both sides. What MLG did with Halo 2 and Halo 3 is they changed movement speed and damage resistance, damage increase on the weapons and that stuff. But that was game mode changes, not game mechanic changes. So the game mechanic should be the same, but if they want to increase damage or increase damage resistance, movement speed, that kind of stuff, great. But the fundamental pieces of the game has to be, consistent. Same. Yes. But that's another discussion that we'll get into
next on the
new year. Yes. Yes. That's the news part that we have from Halo. There's nothing else really happening in the rest of the community right now. I think since it's holidays, it's kind of been tuned down a little bit. But I'm going to throw in a surprise second giveaway.
Woohoo!
So, even more stuff. My viewer
one
list
night.
Is not... Yeah, well, as people have seen, I've... Well, they haven't seen it. I have plenty of stuff to get rid of. I have at least 10 Mega Bloks sets, and then some other figure packs as well. I've accumulated a lot of stuff. So, since Bobby won, I'm going to pull him out of the list for possible winners. I'm going to roll some new numbers here, see what we get. And survey says Cyan Wolf 6.
Are you there, Cyan?
I haven't seen him type in a while, so we'll give him a second to respond. If you're there, Cyan Wolf 6, then we have selected you as the winner of some Halo gear. If not, then we will re-roll here in a few minutes. Since the Halo Loot Crate has reached its final sale for the Great Journey, which was the Halo 3 themed crate, a new theme has emerged and is called Let's Get Tactical. And it's Halo 2 themed with Johnson, Arby, and Guilty Spark character stuff in there. So I'm wondering if we're going to get possibly a Johnson figure?
That would be so perfect.
The artwork is Johnson.
Yeah.
Maybe getting Johnson icons figure? You lose is like, I would have been your daddy. So the title of it, Let's Get Tactical, I mean, that's a Johnson line. Let's get tactical, Marines! Makes sense. It's all Halo 2 themed, though. So it went from Halo 3 to Halo 2. Sensing a theme here?
A minor one, yes.
Maybe Halo 1's next. Who knows?
Maybe.
So that's available until February 15th to order. And right now, Loot Crate actually has a sale going on where you can get 30% off multi-month subscriptions. You have to, in the case of the Halo Crate, either get a 3-crate or a 6-month subscription, or a 6-crate, which is a 12-year subscription. Or sorry, 12-month subscription, 1-year subscription. So you can head on over to podtaggler.com/lootcrate, and that will take you right to the Halo Crate page. And if you want to take the 30% off, you can use the code LIFEISCRATE at checkout. And again, that is 30% off all multi-month subscriptions. You do get a discount already when you do multi-month, so it's just even more of a discount when you do it this way. So again, if you haven't gotten the crate and you're interested in looking for getting some crates at a discounted rate, then head on over to podtackler.com/lootcrate. So Cyan Wolf is here. I'm guessing you stepped away for a moment, but Cyan Wolf, you were chosen to win some Halo gear. You were our second giveaway winner of the night. So I don't know if you were here earlier or heard the categories of different gear, but you get to choose which Halo gear you would like to receive. I have Mega Bloks. I have Mattel figures. I have Podtacular swag. I have a Halo Wars 2 lanyard, a Halo Wars 2 strategy guide. I have a Nightfall Blu-ray, a Halo 5 CD. I have Mega Bloks blind packs. I have Griffball Halo 5 and MCC cover art. So pick your poison. I'll let you
mull that over for a little bit.
Yeah. Let me know if there is a particular category you're interested in, and then I can show off what I have in that category if you're interested. We have the Achieving Halo series still underway. I don't think there's been another recording of it yet, right, GT?
No, there has not, because I haven't had help at work again. But he hired a new guy, and he starts Tuesday, so we'll see.
Okay, very nice.
Hopefully we can get one done before the beginning of the new year.
Cool. There is the option still for people, if they're interested, to have a game night be partitioned off to do some Achieving Halo as well. I know we were doing Castle Wars this past week because it was new in the rotational playlist, and it's a lot of fun.
And it happened to be the double XP playlist.
Isn't the rotational playlist basically the double XP playlist every time around?
Yeah, pretty much.
We have the new year to wrap it up, and then I don't know what... What's the next game that you plan on doing Achieving Halo 4? Back to MCC and maybe Halo 2 or something?
Probably Halo 2.
Okay.
Because that one's going to be painful.
Oh, yeah.
Halo 2 Legendary Solo.
Oh, Solo. Oh, man. I can give you some tips on that one.
Don't get me wrong. I've made it through there. I've played Halo 2 on Legendary multiple times. The only level I've ever really had trouble with is the first one.
The first game or first mission?
The first level. The first mission. Cario Station.
That is probably one of the most difficult levels in the Halo franchise.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. There will be some speedrun tricks done, but unfortunately, there are certain things that you can't speedrun and still do. Like, get skulls.
And some of those skulls are not easy to get.
No, they're not. The very first skull is just annoyingly time-consuming.
You mean the second one? Or the... Yeah,
the no, the one? Very first one.
The very first one, you're just on the tram.
Right. But it takes a while for that skull to spawn. You have to wait in that initial room.
Oh, for that one line, yeah.
For that one line, and it can take 5-10 minutes for him to say that freaking line. So you get to push boxes around.
Fast forward into the video.
There may be a fade out and a fade in.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you. So Cyan Wolf had decided to go with Mega Blocks. So I will give you different ranges, I guess, to pick from. I have little figure packs like this. I have 3 or 4 of these. I have some larger sets. I have blind packs.
He wants the Pillar of Autumn.
Yeah, no. not happening. I have a couple of these Halo Heroes. Spare some of these. I have some of the SDCC exclusive stuff. Like this run from 2014. So is there anything in there that is of interest to you? We may have to wrap this up off stream. We might just wrap it up here and then continue after close of getting Cyan his stuff. So make sure you check out our podcasting network. We're part of a network of gaming specific shows on thepodcast.com. Shows include Critzcast, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about those shows over at thepodcast.com. Make sure you check out our social networks as well. We stream on Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, and we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a Discord server. We have an Xbox Club and a Spartan Company as well. If we have it, just search for Podtacular on it and you will find us. And to answer Pins, because he asks every time or brings it up every time, or someone at least does, no, we do not have a MySpace page. And we'll never have a MySpace page. We do have a Wikipedia page, though, so you can go over to that one. as someone posted in the chat yet. Yep, Eric Cuby did. Go figure.
After you said it.
Laird's like, GeoCities? I think, did Podtacular start on GeoCities? It started somewhere before it went to a Drupal site. I don't remember where it originated from. As far as our kill commendations for getting our Achilles helmet, we have... Oh, thanks, G. Lewis. It was Blogger. Yeah. We still have the four level fours that we're working on. We're super close on a few of them. Thanks to Castle Wars, we closed the gap on a lot. Road Trip, we still need another 270. So close on that one. And then Forget to Pay the Toll, we have another 35. So we are so close on both of those, getting those to level 5. And the one that we are most closest to completing in the Halo 5, or the level 5 realm, is From the Top Rope, which is the ground pound. We need another 599.
Which Castle Wars is really good for.
It is. We actually closed the gap on that one a lot this past weekend.
That and Spartan Charges.
And the vehicle ones as well. Getting a kill with the ground vehicle.
I wonder if betrayals count. Because there were a lot of those too.
Especially whenever you have a Warthog on the map.
And a really narrow road.
Yes. Might play a couple of games before I head to bed tonight.
Nothing like trying to find that one blue player in the sea of red.
You can probably get a few Killtrocities off of that. Well, maybe not that high. Maybe Kilimanjaros. No, is Kilimanjaros higher than Killtrocity 7? Kilimanjaro is... Is Kilimanjaro or Killtastrophe 6?
Someone help me out here. You're going to make me look now.
Sorry. That is going to wrap up our show tonight. We'll be back for the last show of the year on Wednesday next week. That is when we'll be giving away our Xbox One X. So for those in the live stream, the code is on your screen to enter for the live stream attendee. You have until we wrap up the stream to enter that code. And then we'll have one final entry on our last night. We'll be posting that code up early at the beginning of the show, and then we'll be giving away the Xbox at the end of the show to wrap up the year. Someone asked in the chat earlier, our next book show is probably going to be the first show of 2018, which is going to be Halo Retribution, since I just finished Halo Wars 2, and that's the most recent game. I figured that would be the next book to fit in pretty well. There's still a lot of other books that I'm catching up on, I know, but that's the one that we have decided to go with. Cyan Wolf has decided to pick a random Mega Bloks figure or set. So I am going to send him maybe a set or two. Cyan Wolf, I will send you a link that you will need to fill out your information on so I can send you your stuff before I leave on Friday. And we'll get that over to you. So congratulations. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. For those on the live stream, for those that are downloading us through iTunes or Zoom, thank you for your support. Hit us up on the live stream if you ever get a chance to come out here. We broadcast normally on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Sometimes we do it on Wednesdays, depending on schedules. We may be changing stuff around in the new year because we've seen the updates get posted mostly on Wednesdays, so we may start changing the schedules around to either do Thursday again or maybe looking at Wednesday and then going through the update as it gets posted while we record, or hope it gets posted before we record, that kind of stuff. So you may be seeing a change early in 2018 of us changing the dates, but for now, Tuesdays, sometimes Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and then our game nights on Friday, hosted by GT, will not be happening this Friday, but the following weekend will be our game night. You can join up GT at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Can you get a podcast on Spotify?
I don't know. They don't do Spotify.
I know we're on Google Podcasts now, because I actually added that to my phone. We work on Windows. We work on iOS and we work on Android. So at least we're in all the places that we want to be. Spotify is something I guess I'll need to look into. We will be seeing you all next week. Have a Merry Christmas for those that celebrate. And for everyone else, have a happy holidays. We'll see you next week. Giving away a nice big Xbox One X. Keep on fragging BR tweaks.